verse 4 tonight on the trees and the chaff. The trees and the chaff. We've already preached out of this chapter last Sunday night, so it's really hard to not repeat maybe some things that I've said. But this chapter is all about the blessed man. The blessed man, the happy man. It starts out with that word, blessed. That word blessed, as I've described last Sunday night, in the Hebrew word for it is in the plural. It wouldn't be proper in English, but in Hebrew, it would read something like, the blessedness is of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that word for blessed, that word means happy. And so this chapter is about the happy, happy man that has many reasons to be happy. And in verse 1 and verse number 2, we really see those reasons. Verse 3 also, he is happy, first of all, in verse 1, for what he does not do. He refuses to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He refuses to stand in the way of sinners. And he refuses to sit in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? To walk in the counsel of the ungodly is to listen to any advice or doctrine that is ungodly or contrary to God's law. Walking in ungodly counsel means to listen to it and to order the steps of your life after that counsel. Blessed is the man who does not listen to any counsel that's contrary to God's word. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I imagined a man standing in the way of sinners saying, you can't pass. But that's not at all what that means, to stand in the way of sinners. This is a progressive verse. First, he listens to their counsel and he orders his steps in it. And then he comes to establish himself in their way or their course of life. That's what it means to stand in the way of sinners. If you listen to their counsel, soon enough, you'll be living like they live and walking in their course of life. And then blessed is that man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. That word for seat has to do with a house or an assembly. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk down that road, the road of the ungodly, and end up in their company, scorning and deriding the things of God. And blessed is the man that refuses to do that. And why is he blessed, you say? Well, look in verse number 6 at the end of the verse. The way of the ungodly shall what? Shall perish. Why is the happy, happy man so happy in Psalm 1? He's happy because he refuses to listen to the counsel of the ungodly or stand in their course of life or sit in their seat, and so therefore he doesn't perish along with them. Because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They are very near the gate of hell. And blessed is the man that does not walk in that way. But verse number 2, he is also happy, not only negatively for what he doesn't do, but positively for what he does do. What does he do? He delights in the law of the Lord as opposed to the counsel of the ungodly, and he meditates in that law day and night. Now, we preached on that last Sunday night, on the delight of the righteous. And I love what Matthew Henry said about that word delight in the word meditate. He meditates on the word of God because he delights in it. Matthew Henry said, what we love to think of. Amen? What you love is what you love to think of. That is the test. Do you love God? If you love God, you'll love His Word. Do you love His Word? If you love His Word, you'll meditate on His Word. No, there's no meditating on the Word, there's no love for the Word. If there's no love for the Word, there's no love for God. And then look in verse 3 at how He's described. And this is getting down to our message tonight. He is described as a tree. He is described as a tree that is planted. Now think about that. Not every tree is planted, is it? Most trees are grown where the seed has dropped and been in the soil by natural course. Not every tree is planted per se. This word has to do with really what it implies in this verse is the righteous man is a man that's been transplanted. You see, because we're all born wicked. There's nobody that was born the blessed, happy, happy man of Psalm chapter number 1. We were all before the ungodly. We were all wicked and all evil in our first birth. We were born as wild trees. We were born as worldly trees. But the righteous man is the man that has made a turn in his life. He has turned from the ungodly counsel in verse 1, and he has turned to the law of the Lord. And in that turning, God has done a transplanting in his life. God has uprooted him from the course of this world and the kingdom of darkness, and has translated him into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son, and he's now a tree that is planted by God. And that is the planting of the Lord. You know, Jesus, or maybe John the Baptist, said that every tree my Father has planted, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, but it will endure, and every tree he's not planted will be plucked up, will be cast into the fire. The righteous man is a man that has been planted by the Lord in his garden. Now look how he's described. He is planted by the rivers of water. And we described this last week. This is an allusion to the Eastern method of cultivation during that time. We know it as irrigation. They would take a river, they would cut out little channels and streams, so that way it crossed. Multiple streams might pass by one tree. That tree has so many sources of water. They had such a well of life all around them, such a moisture that they never dried up around those trees. And he is described as a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think that this is a beautiful analogy of the Christian. The Christian is a tree that's been transplanted by God into his garden. He has the water of life that flows all around him. We know that water of life is the Word of God, the water of God. It is really the grace of God, the Spirit of God, all the influences of grace in our hearts and the Christian life. All these things are our waters of life. Jesus said that there'll be a water of life bubbling up within us. He said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and that water of life flows from the throne of God. We read in Revelation. And so that the Jesus, God is the source of that river of water of life. We have a continual flow of life. And then this tree brings forth fruit. This is a picture of the Christian, the righteous, who's transplanted into God's garden, whose roots are feeding on God's word and God's grace, bringing forth fruit. Fruit in the Word of God is a picture of our works. The works that we bring forth may either be bad fruit or good fruit, right? It may either be the fruit of the Spirit or it is the fruit of the flesh. And the righteous man is like the good tree that brings forth that good fruit in his season. He brings forth the fruits of joy, love, and long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness, peace, faith, meekness, temperance, and all the things of God that flow from the water of God eventually make their way out in the fruit, right? It, without the water of life, without the roots deriving the water from that river, there's going to be no fruit, right? It is the Holy Spirit of God that brings forth those fruits of righteousness. He brings forth his fruit in his season. And I touched on that last Sunday night. I think simply what that means, and many other preachers have elaborated on that, in the different seasons of our lives, God, if we are following after him, allows us to bring forth the appropriate fruit for those seasons of our lives. I believe that God can give you young people the appropriate fruit for your season of your life. He can bring forth the fruits of purity and chastity. He can bring forth the fruits of maturity in the faith. Bring forth the fruits of work ethic. Bring forth these fruits of God's Spirit in your life. Those of you that are married, God can bring forth the fruits of being a good husband, the fruits that make you a good wife. Those of you that have children and grandchildren, in all seasons of life, in all responsibilities, in all ministries, God may bring forth the appropriate fruit as we delight in the Word of God and we take in the water of life. In tribulation and sickness, God can give you the fruit of joy. In the time of temptation, God can give you the fruit of endurance and patience. And even at the dying season of our life, God can give us the dying grace that we need. All these are fruits in the life of a Christian. And then it says that his leaf also shall not wither. What does this mean? It means in the dry seasons, in the winter seasons, the leaf of the righteous man doesn't fall away. We are like the evergreen tree, that we remain green all through our life, that God never cuts us off. A tree that loses its leaves as it brings forth its fruit will never bring its fruit to maturity. But the righteous man is like that tree whose leaves never wither. Now, I personally think that leaf has to do with our faith. The righteous man is a man that has a faith that endures. That faith is like that evergreen leaf. And you know what leaves do? Leaves use photosynthesis, and they use the waves and all these from the light. And those leaves take the water of life, or the water, and those leaves are what make that water sap. And it sends that sap, and that sap is what causes the rest of that tree to grow. The righteous man gets the word of God, the water of life, and by faith, that water of life becomes sap and nutrient for, and boy, you could get into a lot of typology there about how the Spirit of God is like that light that comes down on the leaf, and as that light and the illumination of the Spirit comes upon that leaf, and if you will, our leaves, the leaves of faith, and we soak up the Word of God, that becomes a living nutrient in our life. The lost person don't understand how we can say that this is our daily bread. They don't get that. They don't have an inkling of idea of what that means. But to be a Christian, you understand that life-giving, spiritual life-giving nutrient of the Word of God that we have. And then he says that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that word prosper means to carry through. Whatever a Christian does, you know, Paul said, I believe in Colossians, maybe, all things are yours. In other words, everything that the Christian does, we are to be doing to the Lord. And what we do to the Lord and for the Lord, whether it's working on the job or whether it's giving a cold glass of water to someone in need, the smallest things that the Christian does will be had in remembrance by God. There's nothing that you do as a Christian for God and through God's power and to His glory that will ever be forgotten. Everything, every fruit that we bring forth in the Christian life will not be lost, in other words, but will be carried through into eternity. What we do for God in this world is carried on to the next world. The tree, in other words, endures, and it is not cast down when the wind of death comes, or the wind of God, the whirlwind of God's judgment does not throw it down, because it's rooted in His garden, and its fruit will be carried through to maturity and through eternity. Isn't that good to know? You can go to your job, and you can work, not as a man pleaser, but you can work to the Lord, for the Lord. Worship God as you work. Witness while you work. And you going to work, you're working for God. And what you do is going to be remembered by God and counted to you as a reward. I can't explain that, but that's the grace of God. But what we do is carried through. This life is not purposeless. It's not going to be lost for us living it for God. Now, you go and live how you want to as a Christian, and there'll be a lot of stubble be burned up in your life one day. There will be. But the Christian, that everything we do to the Lord and for the Lord and through the Lord is going to be carried through. Now, I want you to look in verse 4, and we see the contrast to the righteous, the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. They are not anything that the righteous are. And he describes the ungodly as chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, what is this description of the ungodly? Well, he's just described the righteous as trees. Not just any tree, but a tree planted by the Lord. A tree well-rooted, well-watered, and abundant in fruit. A tree that is evergreen, that its leaves never wither. And how does God describe the ungodly? He describes them the exact opposite. He describes them as chaff. Now, what is chaff? Chaff is the very bottom of the barrel of the vegetation. It is not only dead leaves, but it's the lightest and deadest of the leaves, if you will. Chaff is comparable to the lightest part of dead hay that we would throw out to the cattle. I seeded my yard not too long ago. We had some work done. As I threw that hay out, all that hay was light. But there was some parts of it that was so light that the wind just carried it away and it didn't even fall on my ground. That's what the chaff is. The chaff is the lightest, vainest part of dead foliage that there could possibly be. Chaff would be, we know the parable of the wheats and the tares. A man sows a field of wheat, which brings forth fruit, bread, and the barley harvest, but his enemy sows tares among that wheat. Tares are weeds. They're a weed that looks like wheat, but it's not. It's totally different. And the only way to tell it apart is in the time of harvesting, when they're both cut down, that those tares become chaff. They become the stubblest part. And whenever that man in Bible times would winnow and throw that wheat up in the air, the wheat was heavy enough to fall to the ground. But that chaff would just be carried away by the wind, and it would be separated in the end. And God describes the ungodly as this. Now, why does he do this? Well, number one, because they're dead. And the righteous man, the Christian man, is alive spiritually. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and other places that before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. The chaff is completely dead. The chaff is not only dead, but it's not rooted. It has no support, no stability. It's tossed to and fro with every wind that passes by its way. It is also useless. It has nothing, no fruit, no life, no nothing that could benefit anybody. And the wicked man, ultimately, spiritually, there's nothing he can do that would ever please God or redound to any type of eternal benefit for him. Everything he does is chaff, because he is chaff. He is stubble and deadness, with no root and no fruit and no life, no water. You could splash water all over chaff and it's not going to do anything to it. Think about that for just a minute. You can give water to a tree and it'll help it. You can throw water all over chaff and it'll do nothing but wash it right away. The dead sinner has no, the word of God doesn't help him unless he turns to God and gives his heart to Christ and is filled with the Spirit of God. But there's no nutrient there until he gets saved and he becomes something entirely different. The ungodly man is just not so. The chaff ultimately will be burned up. That's what the chaff does. In the Word of God, chaff is always described as something that's just useless. In Isaiah 33:11, when he's pronouncing judgment on Israel, he says, in other words, he's pronouncing the curses of Deuteronomy on them for their covenant unfaithfulness, and he tells them, because you've sinned against me, you can work all you want to, but you're not going to bring forth anything. All your efforts is going to conceive chaff, and you'll bring forth stubble. Your breath will be as fire, and it will devour you. In other words, you're going to bring forth nothing. And what he describes as nothing is chaff. Think about that for a moment. Chaff is really next to nothing. That's what all of us are outside of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, we see the destiny of chaff, the ungodly. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's coming with his fan in his hand. Think about that. That's how they separated the wheat from the tares, with the fan. They would blow the wind upon it, and what was blown by that fan away was the chaff, and it was blown into the fire. That is the destiny of the ungodly. The destiny of the ungodly is hell. They will be chased by the wind. Now, here's what I'm interested in tonight. I'll give you this thought, and we'll close with this. The chaff is a light, unrooted, dead, really vain substance of dead foliage. And how the Bible describes chaff again and again is especially what the Bible seems to me to really focus on is, number one, its destiny is the fire, but number two, it's blown about in the wind. That's something that's a very heavy theme on that in the Scripture. In this chapter, it is blown about by the wind. It is blown away. In Isaiah 17:13. God's pronouncing a judgment on the nations, and he said that they shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind. Chaff is used to describe something that's just blown about and carried, something that is easy prey for the breeze to carry it away. Now, Here's my thought tonight. Here's something I want to give you that I just pray will help you, especially you young people. I want you to listen to me right now. The common boast of the wicked is this, and it's so common. I've heard it my whole life, and I've spent some of my young years being jealous of the ungodly because of this. They boast that they get to live a free life and that the Christian doesn't get to live the free life. Anybody ever heard that? The people at your school, the people you work with, because you're a Christian and you are one that delights in the law of God, they view you as an idiot. They view you as someone that's chained down, someone that's in a prison cell, somebody that can't enjoy life, someone that's wasting their life, and they view themselves as the real free people. So many people have left the faith, left the church, and apostatized, and they feel this newfound sense of freedom that they can do whatever they want and they don't feel chained down or judged or such and such. You say, who are those people? Were they ever saved? If they were saved, they're going to live a miserable life and they're going to answer for those actions and God's going to deal with them. But there's many of them that probably were never saved to begin with and religion was a true burden for them. But so many times it is easy to become jealous at the wicked. Are y'all listening to me? Psalm 73, the man of Psalm 73 was envious at the foolish because of the life that they lived, and it seemed like they had so much fun, and he didn't get to do that. You young kids and teenagers especially, you need to listen at this point in your life because it's the most crucial, but it goes on through life. You can be an adult and still live a life of jealousy toward the wicked. Listen, I want you to see tonight that you're not really free at all, and you're not imprisoned at all. Could you imagine with me the chaff looking up at the tree and saying, Mr. Tree, you don't know what it's like to live such a free life like me. You're just grounded, man. You're a square. You're a loser, man. You're rooted right here. You don't get to go out into this world and see the things and do the things. And we're chaff. We get to, wherever the wind carries us, we go from this hill to that hill and this place to that place. You know, if I was the tree, I wouldn't be very impressed with that. Would you? If I was the abundant tree, rooted and grounded in the truth, and I have this abundant water of life, the beautiful garden I bring forth, and really, I get to go all over the world because my fruit is carried all over the world, and I'm going to endure and through the storm, and guess what? The storm comes in one night, and all that talk to me, they're gone. I'm still here. And here's new chaff boasting about their freedom. Let me ask you a question. There is a sense in which chaff is free. It's not rooted. It can go miles in the wind. But let me ask you a question. Is chaff really free, though, when it's really at the control of the wind? It's a slave. It doesn't control where it goes. It doesn't get to say no to the wind. It just goes. Look in Ephesians 2 and verse number 22, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number, not 22, verse number 2. Are you there? Would you say amen? He said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I don't have this written down. I meant to, and I must have missed it. And I believe it's in John chapter 8. I'll read it to you in just a second. But here's what he's saying. Before we got saved, we walked only one course. We walked the course that the world laid out for us. And we served one master that was the prince of the power of the air. The devil is who that is. The god of this world. And we served sin. Sin was our master and we were its slave. We could only do that which fulfilled the desires of our lusts in our minds. the spirit of disobedience, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now think about that. You know what the sinner can do? Sin. That's all he can do. The sinner sins. The sinner cannot cease from sin. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know what the sinner lacks is the power to really and ultimately say no to sin. He can only sin in different ways or degrees or outlets, but he can never not do that. That's the course of his life. In John chapter number 8, and I don't have the verse written down, I so wish I did. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he was talking about why they hated him and that they were going to murder him. And he says that they're going to do this because their father is the devil, and he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And Jesus said this, his lusts... You do what your father, the devil, tells you to do and puts inside your sinful nature. There's a sense in which the sinner feels so free in his life. He thinks he's doing all the things he wants to do, and he is doing what he wants to do. But he's really enslaved and controlled by his flesh and the world and the devil. In Romans 6, it makes it clear that before we were saved, that sin reigned in our mortal bodies. You young man or young woman, look right up here. You think because you're not a Christian and you're trying to live life how you want to live and you want to be with who you want to be with and live immorally and do all these things, you think you're free. You're a slave to your sin. You're like chaff. You're just being blown every which way. You have no real power apart from Christ to have victory over that sin. You know the beautiful freedom of being saved? Is you become rooted in God and you can say no. And that the things that drive the chaff every which way, you can be firmly planted in the Word of God and have real freedom and life in God and bring forth real fruit. You know what happens ultimately to the chaff? It says so in verse number 5 of Psalm 1. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And he says in Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 5, if I can turn there. It says, the ungodly shall not stand. I'll just read off the screen. They shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We talked about those wheat and the tares. One of these days, there may be tares among the wheat, but one of these days, the judgment is going to come. He'll have his fan in his hand, and they'll not be able to stand. They'll be blown away. But the righteous will be as the tree that can withstand the whirlwind of God's judgment. And will remain in the judgment. And true freedom is found in Christ. If you understand that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. I'm glad the destiny of the chaff is not my destiny. We've been rooted and grounded in the faith. And Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13, we're to continue being grounded and settled in the faith, being established in the Word of God. So if you're saved, you need to be growing in your roots toward the Word of God. Get the more grounded, the better. The more fruit that abounds to God's glory. Would you bow your heads as the musicians come for a song of invitation? Maybe there's some here tonight that would just go ahead and come. Before they even play, you just say, Revis, I want to come pray. I want to pray that God would help me in my Christian life to be more rooted and grounded, not to be jealous of the wicked, or their course, or I want to thank God for planning me whenever I got saved. Maybe you need to come. Would you come tonight? Lord, we love you. We're grateful to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would help us today, never to envy the wicked, the chaff, but to pity them and to call out to them to be saved. Lord, let them see there's no real freedom in this sinful life. There's freedom only in Christ and being rooted in Him. Lord, make us like that tree in verse number 3. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? These altars are open.
Jesus, keep I
any announcements before we dismiss? Thank you so much for being here. I want to ask Brother Wayne Bullard, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?